as Republicans continue trying to further restrict reproductive rights in the 2 years since the Dobbs decision. Democrats are making abortion and related health care a major campaign issue. Certainly, Kamala Harris, as vice president, led the way on that. On the convention stage last night, we heard heart-wrenching stories from two women and a married couple about the restrictions in red states like theirs, including a young woman from Kentucky, Hadley Duvall.
All right, Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. Well, we've got two opposing views, two completely opposite worldviews on the issue of abortion. And it was certainly clear to those of us that are on the side of life, preserving the life of unborn children, as we watched on the convention paraded across the stage, various stories, various accounts. And no doubt, this is a confusing issue. And so we're going to talk about it today. We're going to talk about the things that have been said recently and try to reason our way through this, because it would be a lie to say, sometimes if you bury yourself in just the Christian conservative camp and you only hear pro-life messages, you are often not equipped to talk to your neighbors, to talk to your friends who are pro-abortion. Many times you just won't talk about it. But we have to understand, if we cannot make a case for why we believe the way we do, then we don't really understand it. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. This is what equips us and helps us to fight back. And so I want to try to help you do that today. And we're going to hear some things that are going to thrill you, encourage your heart, but some things that are going to stab your heart like a knife. So I hope you'll stay tuned for the rest of the show. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on most social media platforms, but I'm encouraging all of you to sign up for Twitter or X like never before, because that's the free speech platform. The others aren't. You're going to be censored so much. I'm not saying don't use them. Glean what you can. But if you want correct information on what's happening in the world right now, you cannot trust them, but you can trust Twitter. And my handle, they call it a handle on Twitter, is @SandyRiosTweet. If you sign up to follow me, then I do a lot. I say a lot more than you hear me on this show. I post things a lot. You can go to any podcast platform to listen to the show. You can go to AFR.net. That's our home base. It's AmericanFamilyRadio.net. You can go to any podcast platform, Amazon, Spotify, whatever is your favorite. And you can also go to sandyrios.com to listen to this show. That's actually pretty easy. Well, I want to thank our sponsor, Preborn. Oh, my goodness. Has this ever been more relevant? Has my conversation with you, every time I come to this mic and speak to you, ever been more important about how we can counter the wickedness, the stuff we are seeing from the very pit of hell, which results in the death of babies and the depression and destruction of the future of women, even if they don't know it in the moment, even if they never experience it till they're middle-aged or older, and men too, I have to say. Abortion has tremendous effects, ripple effects, that go for generations. So there's more than one reason. It's not as though that isn't enough, just saving the baby. It's saving the mother's heart, spirit, soul. Same thing with the dad. If you would like to talk to mothers directly, maybe not you personally, but Preborn does that, and shows them pictures of the baby in utero, I mean in their womb, as they're carrying it and trying to figure out if they want to carry it to term or not, Preborn shows them pictures, photos, with a 4D ultrasound where they can actually see their baby. And most women choose to keep their babies. I wonder what would have happened in that Democratic convention in that little trailer if they could have seen their baby before they went in for the abortion. I wonder what would have happened. Well, let's help by going to preborn.com/Sandy, preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most generous donation. Well, all right, today is full of information, and pray with me as I pray that God will help me to make some points that you won't forget and that you can use that will bolster your faith and help you to understand why this is so important on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Planned Parenthood is having a controversial increased presence in Chicago this week, offering free abortions and vasectomies just blocks away from the DNC. Brian Yenis is live for us in Chicago with the latest on this. Brian, good evening.
Trace, good evening. Well, yeah, that Planned Parenthood mobile clinic is just outside of the convention. It is offering free abortions, free vasectomies, and free contraception. And apparently, the services are so popular that they've got all their appointments booked up, and there is a wait list. And in fact, they are now accepting walk-ins, according to doctors that spoke to Fox. There's also a 20-foot inflatable IUD named Frida. That's also here in Chicago, courtesy of Americans for Contraception, who fear birth control will be restricted by Republicans. A doctor who performed 10 medication abortions in the mobile clinic today insists that Planned Parenthood is not trying to send a political message by being parked outside of the Democratic National Convention.
I think above everything, what we're hopeful for is that healthcare is returned to healthcare, that it becomes depoliticized. It has become a weapon of politics.
Abortion has become a political weapon, though, for Democrats, where they have seized on this issue to energize the left. Activists dressed as abortion pills marching outside the DNC alongside anti-Israel protesters, environmentalists, and even communists. House Speaker Republican Mike Johnson posting on X, blasting the mobile clinic, quote, such a callous and even gleeful celebration of the taking of innocent human life is a shocking new low. This is not your parents' Democratic Party. Now, inside tonight's convention, three women who say they have been negatively affected by abortion bans in their state spoke, and the President Biden, he spoke about abortion, and he was very eager to blame those abortion bans on former President Trump.
MAGA Republicans found out the power of women in 2022. And Donald Trump is going to find out the power of women in 2024. And you know, Trump will do everything to ban abortion nationwide. Oh, he will.
Now, former President Trump says that abortion should be left up to the individual states. And for the first time in 40 years, the GOP party platform does not mention a national ban on abortion. Of course, Vice President Kamala Harris has made the abortion issue central to her campaign, promising that they're going to sign a law in Congress making sure that they will making sure that abortion access is federal law.
All right. That was a Fox News report. Sandy Rios back with you. All right, so here we have a presidential candidate, Kamala Harris, who I recently did a show calling her the abortion queen. And I did that for good reason, because when David Del Leiden in 2013, I think it was, revealed his undercover videos of what was happening at a Planned Parenthood, the discussions of selling baby body parts, of buying luxury cars with that money, incredibly horrific bargaining over brains and over kidneys and livers and eyes. It was shocking. The whole country was shocked. But guess what happened to David Del Leiden? The state of California went after him. They came into his house. They took all of his devices. They took many of his most incriminating videos that he hadn't even released yet, and they took them into custody. And they charged David Del Leiden with all kinds of crimes. He had to pay several hundred thousand dollars, face several felonies, and he's been in court ever since. And guess who? Guess who? The prosecutor was in California at the time. Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris. All abortion, all the time, the abortion queen. And, of course, now we have Tim Walz, who spoke at the convention the last night, the Democratic convention. And this is, you know, Mr. Friendly, Mr. Midwestern, with his all of his ties to Chinese communism. Oh, that's a whole other subject. We're talking about abortion today. But he said, we also protected, meaning in Minnesota, reproductive freedom. Because in Minnesota, we respect our neighbors and the personal choices they make. Under his watch, his governorship, they've signed two abortion bills, which make abortion legal for all 9 months. So that's the leadership that they're talking about right now. And interestingly to me, Oprah Winfrey spoke on the last night. She was a surprise speech. And she started out by saying, I always vote my values. And that is what is needed in this election now more than ever. So I'm calling on all you independents and all you undecideds. You know this is true. You know I'm telling you the truth, that values and character matter most of all. All right, so we've got Oprah, and I know this thing about Oprah. Some of you still are like her. I'm sure you've had favorable views. She was really good when she was on the air. She started in Chicago. I was in Chicago. She's slick. She's good. But I'll tell you something. Oprah has never been who she represents herself to be. If you have ever seen the first movie she produced, which was called Beloved, because I was an Oprah fan at the time, I went to that movie thinking, oh, this is going to be good. And this is not The Color Purple. This is one that she produced, wrote. It was her baby. She's the one that produced it. It was one of the most vulgar, gross movies I've ever seen. I did not last through it. I can't even tell you how depraved it was. And that came out of the mind and heart. That was her baby, the whole thing. So I don't know where her values are, I'll just leave it at that. You can make your own judgment. Well, interestingly enough, the Democrats used to speak differently about this. And just to give you a contrast, we'll go back to 2008 and just let you hear how they once sounded. This is clip 8.
I think abortion should remain legal, but it needs to be safe and rare. And I have spent many years now as a private citizen, as First Lady, and now as Senator, trying to make it rare, trying to create the conditions where women had other choices. I have supported adoption, foster care. I helped to create the campaign against teenage pregnancy, which fulfilled our original goal 10 years ago of reducing teenage pregnancies by about a third. And I think we have to do even more. You know, when I think about this issue, I think about the whole range of concerns and challenges associated with it. And I will continue to do what I can to reduce the number and to improve and increase the care for women, and particularly the adoption system and the other opportunities that women would have to make different choices.
I do not view abortion as a choice and a right. I think it's always a tragedy. And I think that it should be rare and safe. And I think we should be focusing on how to limit the number of abortions.
All right. So that's the way it was back in 2008. Of course, neither of them really meant that. Biden might have meant it sort of, because he came from what used to be a very conservative state on abortion. That was Pennsylvania. But Hillary Clinton is the one that later pushed partial birth abortion. She was a champion. So was Bill Clinton. In fact, he vetoed a ban on partial birth abortion, which is the crushing of the skull and then pulling a baby out at the latter days of, right before it's due. Yeah, that's where they really stood on it. But it was a political year, so they say political things. Well, in the first clip, Fox News teased that there were going to be three testimonies on abortion at that particular night of the convention. And many of you may have heard these, but we're going to listen to them because I think they're very instructive to us. And I'm going to do my best to just comment on them as objectively as I can. Not objective. I'm not objective. That would be not true. But as fairly and as honestly as I can. And so this is the first is a couple, a husband and wife. The husband speaks first. One thing I want you to do is, I wish this were live radio so we could talk and you could call me. Well, you can call me, you know, and leave me a message after you hear this at 662-821-2040, 662-821-2040. But one thing I want you to listen for is, what are they saying? What are they saying? One thing that struck me is just it's not clear. It's not really clear, but let's listen. Here's the first couple.
When you're expecting a baby, packing for the hospital should be a joyful moment. For us, it was different. We were told with 100% certainty we would lose our baby girl, Willow, and we were sent home. For 3 days, we waited until Amanda was sick enough to receive standard abortion care. Eventually, Amanda's temperature spiked. She was shaking, disoriented, and crashing. I don't remember what I threw into our bag that day, only that instead of welcoming Willow, I was hoping Amanda's life could be saved. I'm here tonight because the fight for reproductive rights isn't just a woman's fight. This is about fighting. This is about fighting for our families. And as Kamala Harris says, our future.
Every time I share our story, my heart breaks. For the baby girl we wanted desperately, for the doctors and nurses who couldn't help me deliver her safely, for Josh, who feared he would lose me too. But I was lucky. I lived. So I'll continue sharing our story, standing with women and families across the country. Today, because of Donald Trump, more than 1 in 3 women of reproductive age in America lives under an abortion ban. A second Trump term would rip away even more of our rights. Passing a national abortion ban, letting states monitor pregnancies and prosecute doctors, restricting birth control and fertility treatments. We cannot let that happen. We need to vote as if lives depend on it, because they do.
All right, so let's talk about that. The gentleman speaks first, and he basically tells us that they were Willow, their baby girl, was imminently due, and the doctors told them with 100% certainty that the baby would not be delivered. A lie. This is very unclear. So I would ask, you know, was Willow disabled? Was there a reason why she could not go through normal labor? Are they saying then that they did a partial birth abortion, which would mean that Willow would be turned in her womb, the body would be fully out, the feet first, and then that they would crush the skull, because that's what they have to do in late-term abortion. And that's better. That's what they wanted. They wanted the doctors to do that. And did they say that Amanda's life was in danger? Did anyone say that officially? They say that she... it's really unclear. What did they want? She was due to be delivered. Did they want the doctors to abort this baby for them? I don't understand what it was that they did not get. I mean, people have, they have difficult labors all the time. I was one who had one. I'm no champion on that. It's just what happened. But I certainly wouldn't have wanted my baby to be aborted and killed at that point. That's a human life right there. She goes on to pick up and talk. Oh, one thing that he says that's very interesting, because you'll never hear the left say this. They always say it's a women's issue. Men, shut up. Shut up, men. But he said, it's not just a woman's fight. It's about our families. And with that, I totally, totally agree. The men should be given much more say about this. They should be much more involved. So she goes on to say that 1 in 3 women live in areas where they can't get abortion, where there's a ban. I don't believe that's true. It's very confusing, the stats on which states don't allow abortions. I think almost all of them allow abortion up until certain points. There may be a few it's confusing now because there are so many states, and I didn't have time to read about all 50. But you can bet that most states still allow abortion under certain circumstances and up to certain amounts of months. But she said that President Trump wants to pass a national abortion ban. No, I wish, you know, I'm telling you, I wish he would. Maybe, you know, there might be an exception for the life of the mom. I'm up for that. That's my personal view, but that's not President Trump's view. In fact, I've been disappointed. The platform did reflect kind of a backing off of a national abortion ban. So that's not true. It's just not true. And she says that he wants to prosecute doctors, restrict birth control, infertility. I don't think President Trump has said any of those things. And so that's just not true. And their story is very, very vague. Is it not? All right. Then we move to a really pretty black girl. And this is her story. Let's listen.
2 years ago, my husband and I were expecting our second child. Our daughter, Lauren, couldn't wait to be a big sister. I was getting ready for her fourth birthday party when something didn't feel right. Two emergency rooms sent me away. Because of Louisiana's abortion ban, no one would confirm that I was miscarrying. I was in pain, bleeding so much my husband feared for my life. No woman should experience what I endured, but too many have. They write to me saying, what happened to you happened to me. Sometimes they're miscarrying, scared to tell anyone, even their doctors. Our daughters deserve better. America deserves better.
See, I don't understand
Kamala
what it
Harris
is.
Kamala Harris and Tim Walz will fight for reproductive rights and our freedom and our shared future.
Yeah, I don't understand what she's trying to say. You know, women have been having miscarriages since the beginning of time. Well, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it was a perfect world to begin with. But somewhere along the way, after man sinned, there began to be miscarriages. And they happen, and they're very unpleasant. And it's certainly, the further along you are, the more unpleasant. I don't know what she wanted. Did she want them to abort the baby to keep her from having to miscarry? The irony of this is, you know, the abortion pill, the two pills, do the same thing. The first pill kills the baby. The second pill causes your body to expel it. Do you think there's not a lot of bleeding, pain? Because when you have the baby inside of you, that's what happens. No one can prevent that. An abortion wouldn't have prevented that. So that's confusing to me, too. And then the last, we have what I think is the most sympathetic case. It's Hadley Duvall. Let's listen.
Growing up, I was an all-American girl. Varsity soccer captain, cheerleading captain, homecoming queen, and survivor. I was raped by my stepfather after years of sexual abuse. At age 12, I took my first pregnancy test, and it was positive. That was the first time I was ever told, you have options. I can't imagine not having a choice. But today, that's the reality for many women and girls across the country because of Donald Trump's abortion bans. He calls it a beautiful thing. What is so beautiful about a child having to carry her parents' child? There are other survivors out there who have no options. And I want you to know that we see you. We hear you. Kamala Harris will sign a national law to restore the right to an abortion. She will fight for every woman and every girl, even those who are not fighting for her.
You know, I was listening and watching that really carefully, and as the applause was taking place and the camera was panning the audience, I saw so many faces on women that showed sorrow, sadness. There wasn't much applause from the women I looked at. Just, you could see it in their eyes. But the sorrow is not because they couldn't have an abortion. Many of them, you know, sex is such a personal thing, and of course getting pregnant is so personal that this wounds us when something goes wrong. I'm still wounded by the birth of my daughter. I could just cry. Sometimes I don't even expect it because it's so personal to us, and giving birth is such a joyful thing, and when something goes awry with it, the process, somebody raping or whatever, that's a deep wound. But you know what's a deeper wound? A deeper wound is abortion. It's responding to that by deciding to let your baby be killed. That is a deeper wound. Let me see if I can make myself clear about this. Hadley was raped by her stepfather. That's just horrendous. Just horrendous. And so she had a pregnancy test at 12. And she maintains, of course, that that was her redemption. She was able to abort that child that belonged to her stepfather. Well, I think the common wisdom would be that sounds right to me. I mean, she shouldn't have to. She's only 12, so how could she go through that? But I want to give you another perspective. When I was on radio in Chicago, this was already taking place. There's Title I, I think it was, Title something, allowed health services in counties to administer birth control to underage girls and without their parents' knowledge. And it was a huge issue. I was so upset about it. As you can imagine, I was pounding my microphone and the desk I was working at, shouting out. Because I'll tell you what happened. McHenry County, which is one of the most conservative at the time it was, west of Chicago, had a McHenry health department. They were as liberal as any inner city health department. And there was a 12-year-old girl whose coach and social studies teacher was sleeping with her. And he took her to McHenry County Health Department to get birth control. And they gave it to her. Even though birth control has very strong hormones in it, and it, at the time, it had not been tested. I don't think it has now either. Tested on girls who were young in their fertility. And so there was no way to know what kind of effect those birth controls were going to have. And they were forbidden, really, except to married women who, you know, got a prescription from their doctor. But my point is this. When you allow abortion or birth control without parental knowledge, these predatory men reap the benefits. They reap the benefits. It doesn't hurt them any if the 12-year-old girl is on birth control, or if she has an abortion. They can go on and abuse and abuse and abuse. And for that reason alone, the abortion pill and all of the available abortions are just wrong. They are a deception. They are a deception. They seem like a solution, but they're not a solution. Now, what do I mean by that? Let me ask you this. Which would bring more redemption to Hadley? She's a beautiful 12-year-old. I think she's a little older than 12 now. She was a beautiful young girl. Which would have been more redemptive? To be advised to take the life of that baby, which is what she did, and her stepfather's off scot-free, as far as I know. But for her, deciding to take the life of the baby and having, as I know, because I've been dealing in this issue for most of my public life, we have so many stats to show about the depression, the sadness, the suicide, often the infertility that results from taking your baby's life. It maybe doesn't come right away, but it often comes in later years. I saw it in the faces of those women I just described. The sorrow. Or what if Hadley had been encouraged to take that baby to term? She could have seen the life in her that's half of her. It's not just her stepfather. She could have had the joy of that birth. And I know at the time, as a 12-year-old girl, doesn't seem like that, but the joy of delivering and the joy of seeing the baby, and then the joy of letting that baby live and be raised by another couple who maybe didn't have children, that would have been redemptive. That's redemption. It's the hard way. Yep, It's the hard way, but that's the way that would bring redemption. Hadley will never get over this for the reasons, different reasons than what she thinks at this point. And yes, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz will pass a law, they promise to do that, that will make abortion available for all 9 months, and that will be part of our national law, will override all of the state restrictions right now. So this is the choice that we're facing with this upcoming election. I'm going to take a brief break, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about a dust-up between Vice President J.D. Vance and a governor on the issue of abortion. And then I want to play a song for you that I absolutely love. I'm going to end the show with it today, so stay tuned on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
When a woman experiences an unplanned pregnancy, she often feels alone and afraid. So many times her first response is to seek out an abortion because this is what the left has conditioned her to do. But because of the generosity of listeners like you, that search may lead her to a preborn network clinic where, by the grace of God, she will choose life, not just for her baby, but for herself. Go to preborn.com/Sandy and give as generously as you can to supply these the money that's needed to provide free ultrasounds to these women to help them make a better, more redemptive choice. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and I miss you in the mornings. But now I'm hosting a podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, which is available at AFR.net and SandyRios.com. Well, I finally finished that book. God's Velvet Hammer chronicles God's call in my life from a small town girl to Berlin, Germany, Radio Moscow to North Korea to Washington, D.C. I talk about Sasha Girl. It was my disabled daughter. I talk about I've Got the Music in Me. That's a chapter on my music life. Lost in India and Other Adventures is hilarious. You won't want to miss it. I talk about my sweetheart, The Blessing of Bruce. And then a mysterious chapter called My Green Face and the End of It All. Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. Like the Apostle Paul, these are my shipwrecks and my adventures. All for Christ and His kingdom. God's Velvet Hammer is available wherever books are sold. And remember, Sandy Rios 24/7 is available at AFR.net and SandyRios.com.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. On MSNBC, Andrea Mitchell was interviewing Governor Andy Beshear. Andy Beshear, the governor of Kentucky, was, after hearing this story by the last victim, had some choice things to say and aimed them at J.D. Vance. And I want you to hear the back and forth. Let's listen.
J.D. Vance calls pregnancy resulting from rape inconvenient. Like, inconvenience is traffic. I mean, it is. Make him go through this.
So what he's saying is that you were somehow suggesting, he said, what the hell is this? Why is Andy Beshear, he tweeted this out, wishing that a member of my family would get raped? What a disgusting person. So how do you respond to that? I mean,
Well, it's,
is that what you were talking about?
Of course not. It's ridiculous, but it's also deflection. I mean, J.D. Vance knows that he and Donald Trump are so wrong on this issue, and so he's trying to make himself the victim. Listen, Hadley Duvall was a victim. The women that were on the stage last night, the couple that had to go through a non-viable pregnancy, are victims. You know, as a man, J.D. Vance will never have to face any of this personally. But it's sad that he lacks the empathy to be able to put himself in a different position and to understand why having exceptions, having reproductive freedom is so important in the first place. Obviously, I'd never wish harm on anyone. And it just, again, deflection, trying to make himself and Donald Trump the victims.
All right, so that's what he says. But he said, no, I would never say that. I would never say that. Well, let's listen to what Andy Beshear said, and this is clip 9A.
J.D. Vance calls pregnancy resulting from rape inconvenient. Like, inconvenience is traffic. I mean, it is, make him go through this.
Well, of course, J.D. Vance is very strongly pro-life, but that's exactly what Beshear said. Make him go through this. Have one of his family members get raped and have this decision to be made. That's exactly what he said. So Andy Beshear is very persuasive, and so is everyone, really, that I hear. I don't hear anybody talking about abortion who's not persuasive, but it is wicked. Keep in mind, they're giving free abortions outside of the Democratic National Convention. They were, by the time you hear this, it's a were. And they've got this huge blow-up IUD they call Frida, and they've got girls marching in the street dressed Mifepristone and Misoprostol. Those are the two abortion pills, one to kill the baby, one to expel. It's a beautiful thing. And this is the convention of joy. This is the convention of joy. Well, I want to close today with a song that I have been listening to over and over and over again. It's a song by John Rich. Many of you may have heard it. It's based on the book of Revelation. And we're going to close out the show with this today. Before we do, I want to thank our sponsors, Timothy Plan, Put Your Money Where Your Values Are, and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Okay, let's listen. John Rich, Revelation.
In the flames, the people cursed his name, bowed at the altar of the father of lies. But there's a number to their days and all their evil ways. The Lord's gonna turn away from all their cries. Oh, revelation, I can feel it coming like a dark train running. Coming back again. Brimstone upon their heads, millstones around their necks. They'll feel the shaking when the trumpet sounds. And no matter where they hide, there'll be nowhere to run when Jesus puts his mighty foot on the ground. I can feel it coming like a dark train running. Oh, get ready, 'cause the King is coming. The King is coming back again. The evil ones and all the wickedness they've done. There'll be no time to turn around as the stars begin to hit the ground and the mountains fall and the veil is torn with the sounding of that seventh horn.
Oh, revelation, I can feel it coming like a dark train running.
before his days were done. The king is coming, and it won't be long.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.